Now this, I've never preached this message, but I've used this title before. Does the Word of God still work? Now you probably don't remember that because it was many years ago, and I did not even read any of the last time I preached this, but I took the title. Does the Word of God still work? You know, we're living in quite a day. You know, a guy came up to me last Sunday morning after I got speaking on, did Jesus turn the water into grape juice or alcohol? And I had those big barrels up here, and it would have been quite a drunken thing if he had done that. At least 135 gallons. And so we talked about that. He said, now I understand why you preach, and both you and your son preach so good. That's what he said, not me. And you don't have a packed house. He said, you preach truth. See, we're not trying to see what we have to do to get people out. If I want to just get people out, we just get us a little rock band up here. And I would never say anything. Oh, I could be loud. You can be really loud. People don't even mind that. They don't even mind if I jump on top of the pulpit. Now, it's been many years since I could do that, and I never have done that, and I never could do that. I saw a preacher do that once, scared me half to death. Down in southern Illinois, there's a church, they run the pews. And boy, when they miss, it's painful. They run the back of the pews. Y'all see that? That is bizarre. Bizarre. And they don't even care if you do that. Just don't tell them how to live. Well, we don't tell you how to live. We just tell you what the Word of God says. We don't tell you how to live. But the Word of God tells us how to live. Word of God's pretty good. Anyway, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. I love this. I love this. This will be our theme at my retirement in September, this verse. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Isn't that beautiful? Now, if you don't have a King James, you didn't get the beauty of that, did you? That's just beautiful. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Wow. The richness of this promise. The Word of God. Does the Word of God still work? Oh, yes, it does. I don't care what the liberal New York paper says. And they're making fun of people praying during that terror attack. And the paper's making fun of them. And they're saying, and they put the presidential candidates in the paper that believe in prayer. And most all of them do believe in prayer. They put them in the paper mocking prayer. And one of the girls was in the bathroom when the shooting was going down, and she texted her dad, "Dad, please pray." And they're mocking this. I'll tell you one thing. When they die, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. When those terrorists die, oh my goodness, they think they're going to do something to bring back the pure Islam, and they're going to find out there's only one pure person, and that's the Lord Jesus. And he doesn't have us bring our sons to die. God sent his son to die. Oh, I love my Savior. I think we should pray for the Muslims. I want them to find Christ. I'm not trying to be belittling, but Jesus is the Lord. He's the King of Kings. And I love it. This promise is so good. It's so good. I heard a story, and this man was downtown preaching in Chicago. Do y'all remember the store, the Preachers on the Corner? How many of you remember that? Raise your hand if you remember that. Y'all remember that? Well, that's not my style. But I'm not against it. I would fight for the right to do it, right? But there was a day that it did get results. And this guy was downtown, one of the main blocks, and he's preaching his heart out. Just preaching. And this guy, homeless guy, comes up. He said, "Preacher, I'm so sick of your preaching. I can't stand it. You ought to preach your last sermon and retire." The guy was really insulting. He said, "Preacher, you believe in this Bible, don't you? You really believe in this Bible?" He said, "If you believe in it, give it to me, so I can roll my cigarettes in this beautifully thin paper." I don't know about you. I'd give him the Bible, all right, with a fist sandwich. And the preacher said, "Okay, I'll give you the Bible if you give me a promise. You'll read the chapter before you roll them in your cigarettes. For your cigarettes, you'll read the chapter." He said, "Of course I will." So about 4 months later, this real rich guy, looking rich, comes up in a three-piece suit. Looked incredible. "Says, Preacher, you know who I am?" "Preacher, I've never seen you." "Well, you have, preacher. I was homeless, and I'm the one you gave the Bible to." "What happened?" He said, "Well, I smoked Matthew, I smoked Mark, and I smoked Luke. And then John smoked me. Amen." Isn't that true? The Word of God. It is the Gospel of John. It's so powerful. Do you ever just feel so... Did you ever feel like the devil's got all the power and you're praying and God's not even listening to you? You ever feel... Well, I have. I bet you have too. But I'll take this word and I'll get to it. And it just changes everything. The Word of God is quick and powerful. You know what it means, quick? That means alive. The Word of God's alive. You say, "Well, does it matter? Why do I have to use the King James? I can't understand it." Well, I'll get you a little book. It's about 8 pages that tells you the archaic words and how to, if you're not smart enough to know what they mean. You say, "Why do you prefer it?" Because it's the manuscript that is the majority text. 95% of all the manuscripts King James comes from, all the others comes from 5%. They say, "Well, they're the older." Yeah, because they were thrown away. Now, the King James is not in itself inspired. We do not believe in double inspiration. What's wrong with double inspiration? Because you can't improve on the first. When God did it, it's the best. You can't improve on what's perfect. There's not double inspiration. But God has given us the whole Bible. He's preserved it. And I love the King James. Now, if you don't have a King James, no one's going to judge you. You don't have to hide it on your way out. I've trained our people not to judge. One Sunday, I preached out of another version way back. I didn't know. I hadn't done any of the classes. I hadn't heard. I didn't know. But I got so convicted. I preached out of American Standard. And that Sunday, I felt awful. And that night, I got up to the church and asked forgiveness. I didn't even know. I didn't even know. But I love this Bible, King James. If you don't have it, don't hide it. No one's going to judge you. We have scholars that come in here, and I mean real scholars. Dr. Stringer's a scholar. And they explain why we use this, why we believe in it. The Word of God's alive. Some of the new versions leave out whole chapters or half chapters. I love this Bible. It doesn't leave out anything. How do you read a Bible that's got half a chapter missing? according to the latest manuscript. Give me a break. I don't care. I want, if it's in here, I believe it, right? I really do. It's living, the breath of his lips, God breathed. It's never a dead letter. Now, I know Martin Luther had his problems toward the end, but I still respect him. Luther said of Paul's writing, it's true of all Scripture. Its words are not dead words. Now, listen to this. They are living creatures that have hands and feet. I've never heard it put that way. Never heard it put that way. Living creatures. This is the most, you want to stop ISIS? Train them in the Word of God. Now, I have figured out, you know, I was asking God, how do we stop ISIS? In the middle of the night last night, God came to me in a vision. Y'all are really kind of into this, aren't you? And he told me how to stop ISIS. I said, Lord, tell me and I'll tell my church in the morning. He said, I will if you'll shut up. Turn it over to the U.S. government and they'll fail. I thought that was funny, but I guess you didn't. Now, I didn't have a vision. I know a lot of you got a little worried. It's powerful. It's got energy, energetic. It's dynamite. Oh, it's powerful, man. You've heard me tell some of my stories. I was in Jamaica, and we were just started on TV. And I went in, I shouldn't say it, but it was kind of a bar. They had the TV going. They had satellite. And I went up to the bartender. Now, I know this is not really what I should do. And I said, is there any way that I could look at my TV show? Now, you know who was playing then, don't you? Chicago Bulls with Michael Jordan. I'm thinking, they won't let me do this. And, you know, a lot of them didn't even know what they were watching. They were kind of plastered. And the bartender said, yeah, you can watch it. So they turned my show on in Jamaica, and I'm watching it. No one was paying attention until the gospel started. I'll tell you before God, when the gospel started, they were glued. They weren't paying any attention to anything. And when that gospel started, they just listened. Because it's powerful. It's alive. Oh, it was so incredible. I saw the power of God. I've seen it over and over. I've gone out to multitudes of thousands in this very church, and they're kind of not paying attention. And I get to the gospel. Everybody becomes glued. Because the Word of God is powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. What do you mean sharper than a two-edged sword? Well, the sword cuts. And it cuts to the quick. But the sword also heals. The same sword that is used to cut is the same sword also used for surgeries. It's powerful. The Word of God, does it still work? Of course it still works. If we were the only church, now listen, there's no secrets to the Christian life. You know, we went through Promise Keepers. Remember that? And everybody goes stand in a big building, and that was the hottest thing since sliced bread. And now they don't stand in buildings anymore. Because standing in a big room, not that it was bad. I mean, people stand for God. That's good. But it didn't do anything to change. The only thing that's changed people is the Word of God, precept upon precept, verse upon verse. You learn it. The more you learn it, the more your life is going to change. Because the Word of God is sharp and powerful. Of course the Word of God works. It's dissecting. It pierces. It pricks our hearts and soul and spirit, joints and marrow. Gives sensibility and power to the heavenly side. distinguishes in us what's carnal and what's spiritual. It's all discerning. You know, most people would say Shakespeare, the greatest writer ever, but he wasn't. The Word of God is. Now, I've told you all this, but in high school I got trapped and I got into playing in the Macbeth. We went through Macbeth so many times. At that time, I could quote it. My best friend was Macbeth. Oh, I had a big part, Lennox, not too big. Anyway, but we learned it all. Everybody knew it. My friend got sick. I got thrust into being Macbeth. But I knew the rule. I knew the things. You say, did you like it? No. I hated it. How did you get involved? Because this teacher got me into debate. And then you get into debate, they say you have to go and be in the play. And I was too stupid to know you didn't have to. You didn't like it? No. Did the people like it? Yes. People like anything that's weird. You've never lived till you've seen me wearing a kilt. The cops stopped my buddy. He had to run home. Macbeth, he had the makeup and the kilt on. And in those days, it wasn't like today. He said, what's wrong with you? He said, I'm in Macbeth. Yeah. I'm sure you are. I'm hauling you down. Being a pervert. So he finally convinced him to call the school. And they said, no, he's Macbeth. And the policeman said, praise the Lord, he's not a weirdo. One time that same guy got real mad and shaking his fist at someone driving. Turned out to be his preacher. Be careful. Be careful. See, the eye of God. It knows everything. It knows more about us than we know about us. Isn't that amazing? Wow. It separates everything. And God sees how we treat the promises of God. Do you believe them? Now, I'm going to read this from the Wycliffe Bible Commentary. Word for word. It's not real long. It's a little bit long. But I want to read this because I think I probably studied 20 or 30 commentaries. And this one said it the best. So I want you to get this and really pay attention to this. The offering of rest is reinforced by reference to the Word of God. That is, reference both to Christ as the living Word and to the revelation or written Word. Five assertions are made concerning the Word of God. Logos, Theo. It is living. Two, it is the Word of power and creative energy. Three, it severs, separating even the closest relationships. Four, it is a judge of their innermost thoughts. Five, it is an agency which God deals directly with a creature. In this way, the Word of God reveals the whole man, particularly in relation to his heart attitudes and his believing faith, and that will enable him to enter into rest. The Word of God examines, judges, admonishes the Christian to holy living and to believing faith. A couple weeks ago, my wife was in an accident that totaled her car. I had just heard Dr. Shade. He says, you praise God for everything. He said, I had a flat tire and this guy was with me and he jumps out and he says, praise God! Praise God we got a flat tire. And Dr. Shade, I'm looking at him like, this guy's a nutcase. But then a guy stopped to help him and got saved. Now, how do you praise God that your wife is in a terrible accident? This was the next day. But isn't that the same truth? Flat tire or total? So I've done this before. I said, God, this is silly, but I praise you for this. And it really did help. It really did help. You say, how could it help? How could that be a blessing? I promise you, it will be a blessing. You said, well, you don't understand. I don't either. But God's going to make it a blessing. He always does. He always does. But I did it because God said to praise God. Has it changed things? The pain's not quite as bad. Still there. But I believe we're going to win this because you're going to pray. I really do believe that. See, Jesus is the only way. You have a clear gospel. Boy, the devil doesn't want people there, man. They see the birth, the cross, and the resurrection, and then a pure gospel. I tell you what, some of you could get the most rewards. Just go out and pass the stuff out, get posters up. We're going to win this. Someone's going to donate some money to help us with that $250,000. We've never had matching gifts before. We never have. Wouldn't it be great if for one time in our life we get so much money that we can expand the ministry? The church channel put us on at 11:30. I think it's Thursday night. We didn't even know. We had more calls than we could have ever imagined. No one was there to man the phones, but they put it on voicemail. I said, praise God. We don't even have to pay for it. 11:30 at night is better than when we're on Sunday afternoons that we pay for. Wow. I don't understand. I wish we were on all the networks. We were on WGN for years. And Cleflo Dollar, he's got more dollars than we got. So he called up GN and said, I'll double what that Scudder guy's paying. I should have had my name Maximilian. Then he wouldn't have touched me. So they doubled it. We were paying $4,000 a week, and now it's $8,000 a week. Then WGN said, you can match it. I said, we can't afford it. I said, we do pay our bills, you know. Yes, I know. Wow. And we went off. I don't understand that. Only in heaven will I understand that. But what if we could? What if we could? In verse 14, seeing that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You know, we're now priests. He's the archpriest. We're priests. We're kings. You know, I spoke in our chapel this week. How do you remain humble when you're a priest and a king? Do you ever think about that? Where to be remain humble? The lower you go, the higher you are. How can we remain humble? Anybody know? Because we know that being priests and kings is not something we earned. It's a gift from God. I can't wait to go to heaven. Can you imagine? There's going to be some people that were so much higher than me. I told President George W. Bush when we got to meet each other, I said, I'd rather be me than you, Mr. President. He said, why? I said, because I'm winning people to the kingdom. You're just making people mad. I'm telling you the truth. And he said, I'd rather be you than me. And then he said, you want to change? I said, no, sir. I do not want to be president. I want to be a lowly preacher. Telling people how to go to heaven. Verse 16. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now I'm going to read that again. I'm not going to get real loud, but I want you to get it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. I heard a preacher say once, get your come boldlies. I thought, that sounds weird. He kept saying, get your come boldlies. And I said, boy, that really does kind of make sense. We have a high priest. Everything I suffer, he's already knows about it. Some of you right now, you're going through terrible sufferings, and some of you are going through marital breakups, or some of you are going through just terrible things at jobs and maybe losing your houses. And listen, this thing has hit every one of us, and you're hurting. But because the high priest entered, there's no longer a veil. The veil that he entered was the blue skies of heaven. And Aaron, the high priest, would go in once a year to make an atonement for sins every year. But Christ went in the throne of Christ. He went in forever, being there 24/7. Understands everything that you and I are hurting. When we hurt, he hurts. Because he cares for us. Did you ever have a boss that really cared for you? And you knew that if you hurt, that he was hurting just as much as you were hurting? Even though you didn't think that boss was perfect, you did love that boss. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I think some of you do. Well, he was perfect, the Lord Jesus. He's our high priest, guaranteed by his death and his blood. Perfect humanity. Perfect Godhead. He knows everything. Does the Word of God still work? Answer? Okay. He didn't succumb to temptation. Passed into heaven. Jesus was the first real man. The first real man. You know, we've had over the years a lot of pro football players come here. We had Richard Dent was here for many years, not too much in church. But boy, he, when you see him, all I would say is, oh, Lord Jesus, keep him happy. Man, he's just like getting a football field with him. But compare the manhood of a pro player to the manhood of Jesus. Who's going to be the real man? The Lord Jesus. Isn't that true? It really is true. He has sympathy for us. Isn't that great? The other day that some of the kids that come to RU, and I was told this, it's a cute little story. So if you're here today, don't get panicked. I'm not going to say a name. But we had a thing of cookies, and this little boy, probably 3 to 4 years old. And by the way, what I told about Pastor Paul drinking gasoline, it was when he was 3. Some of you thought it was last week. So this little boy, he was downstairs, and we had a cookie jar. And he was sitting there, probably 3 to 4, and he's looking at the cookies. And one of the people came by, one of the workers, said, are you going to steal those cookies? The little boy said, no, sir. I'm here for one reason, sir. Not to steal them. I'm just seeing if I can resist the temptation. Don't ask me how he knew that. That's not how you resist temptation, is it? Get away from it. The devil can't make us do anything. Did you know that? He can't make us do anything. We can let him do it, but he can't. He knows he's been defeated at the cross. He knows that we have our come boldlies. The throne of God has been changed from the throne of judgment to the throne of mercy. I tell you what, did you ever just feel so bad that you didn't feel like you could even go to his throne? I have. I'm sure you have. But we can, because he's our high priest. And we can come boldly. Come boldly. I can go boldly to do you call him Chaplain Hal? Dr. Hal? And he's a general. He is a general. He told me last Wednesday night I should bow down and salute him. No, he is a general. And he's a doctor and he's a chaplain and he's a lot of things. That's why Judy is going to be one of the highest ladies heaven's ever known. Her and Marilyn Steele. I love the kid, don't you? If I don't kid you, you might start getting worried. Isn't that good, though? Satan knows he's defeated. But the whole thing here, the beauty of this, and I'm going to not read the Hebrews. It's a great verse, but you can read that when you get home. Can I tell you a quick story? True story. Now, I might not have it exactly right, as I heard it second-handed, but Sarah Sampson came and told this story. You know, we just were over in the Philippines, and Dr. Canny and Meg and some other medical people were in the Philippines. And they were at Pastor Edwin's church, and doctor, and different people, maybe a dentist, I'm not sure. And they would treat the people, then they'd go, and they would talk to some counselors and get saved. Well, they came running to Pastor Edwin's house. Pastor Edwin, you got to come. This lady was having birth and had complications. And the lady died. The baby died. And they had her name. And they went back. And they looked it up. And she got saved at the clinic. And Pastor Edwin was praising God. Not because the lady died, but the lady got saved. Isn't that good? Isn't it good? Man, are y'all dead today? Isn't that good? When Freddie Coyle does it, y'all go, amen. I do it, and you sit there dead. What is that? Isn't that good? Amen. You're waking up. That's good. That's good. The woman was saved. Wow. You know, it's so important. It's so important. You know why we always give this billfold? Do y'all know why? Because it's clear. It's not the only way you can give it. There's other ways to give it. I had some preacher here. I won't say his name. And he said, I've got another way to give it. You know, and we've given that probably 20 times, his new way. And I'm just sitting there thinking, okay, you got a new way that you stole from me and you forgot where you stole it. That's how you got a new way. Okay, this billfold represents sin. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. Sin separates us from heaven. How many sins can you take to heaven? None. Can't even take one. Not even one. If there's sin in heaven, what would happen? There'd be death in heaven. Would you like to have death in heaven? And start all this all over again? Well, how long are you going to live? Well, I'd get to live to be 150 here, but I'm going to die again. That'd be horrible. You go in heaven, how long are you going to live? 10,000 years. Bright shining as the morning sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first began. We had a guy, I loved him, Pastor Schneller. I did out. He's the one that had it before Dr. Vandenbosch. I loved him. So he'd be here and he'd get all upset. Don't say 10,000 years, say 10 billion years. Well, I think 10,000 gets it across. Whether it's 10,000 or 10 trillion, you've no less days to sing God's praise than when he first began. That's pretty good, isn't it? Do you get that? I get it. I can't wait to get to heaven. No, I want to live here as long as he wants me here. But God says, but you got to get rid of the sin. I mean this hand. I mean it reverently. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, had made him Christ, who knew no sin, to be made sin for us, that we could be made the righteousness of God in him. See, he takes our sin because he shed his blood. He's our high priest. He got into heaven because the sin payment had been paid, not by man, but by the God-man. He paid it all. Isn't that good? Look over here at my right and your left. A little hard to see it today, but Ephesians 2:9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. It's a gift. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. Get rid of that sin. Because he paid for it on Calvary with his blood. Shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection. Isn't that great news?